Good evening. Hard to say it after usually I'm saying good morning, you know, up here for the Sunday school introduction. But this time it's evening. And I'm certainly glad to be here, glad the Lord gave us the strength, and glad He gave us this day. The weather has been strange, I know. But just hold on. Wait till this weekend, we'll be complaining it's too hot again, from what they say. And today, of course, it was rather cool. Yesterday, it was even cooler than it is today. So it is rather strange, but that's not a surprise in Georgia in the spring, is it? We get it like that sometime. I want to turn to a text, and if you want to turn in your Bible with me, go take a look at the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. And before I get into it, I was thinking of something, and I don't know if this rings a bell with you or not, but before I say it, I want you to know I'm not a Shakespeare expert or even a Shakespeare lover. The thing that interests me about Shakespeare is he lived during the time of King James and a little before that as well, and he actually wrote a very famous play in 1600, which was 11 years before the King James Version was even translated. And the play, of course, was Hamlet. And Hamlet was a story of a Danish prince whose father had done some evil deeds and died. It's all about ghosts and different stuff. Shakespeare had a real knack for writing. The most famous line probably in that whole play comes to my mind, and I got to thinking about it when this was brewing to preach on. He said, "To be or not to be? That is the question." Can't say it like those British people do. But he went on to say some things that, to me, pointed out that he was asking this question. It was actually dealing with a search for life or not life. He was actually looking at whether it was even worthwhile to be alive. That's really what that was about. They say what he was saying there was what you call a soliloquy, which he was just reflecting with nobody really particularly listening. Well, a lot of people have listened over the years. They still perform Shakespeare plays all over the world. And as a rule, they still use that Elizabethan English in it. So I got to thinking, to be or not to be? Well, we know, of course, some things about life that maybe Shakespeare didn't know. Because he was born in 1564 and baptized, if you want to call it that, into the Anglican Church. They, of course, sprinkle babies. And the Anglican Church was in a situation at that time where King Henry VIII started the Anglican Church. Because what happened, Henry VIII was a real womanizer, you know. He wound up, I think, with six wives in his life. And he wanted to get rid of one wife to marry another. And at that time, the Catholic Church says, no, you can't do that. So Henry VIII says, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to start our own church, and I'll be the head of it. So they started the Church of England, the Anglican Church at that time. And so then along came Queen Mary. Maybe you know some of that history. Queen Mary was known as Bloody Mary. She was a Catholic. She decided to bring England back in to the Catholic Church. And so there was real turmoil there. But during that time, a lot of things were happening. Then when James came along, he wanted to have a translation of the Bible that would say some things the Geneva Bible didn't say. The Geneva Bible had a lot of things to say against religious clergy being, of the devil and being, all kinds of things that they didn't like. So we had the King James Version translated, and it turned out to be a real blessing, of course. This year is the 400th anniversary of the King James Version. Maybe you read my article on it. I call it a worthy celebration because it is a thing to celebrate. This Bible right here, 400 years it's been used of God in a mighty way. And I think about, of course, Shakespeare had a lot of ability to write not only stories, but poetry and all that. And he had some comedies, he had some dramas, and Hamlet was a what they call a tragedy, very much a tragedy. And of course, there's Romeo and Juliet and a lot of others. But I got to thinking, that question, to be or not to be, we could say it about something else very important. Now, we Christians know that life is important, and God wants us to live a life for Him. We know that God's done something in our lives and made it worthwhile to live. You know, your life wouldn't be worthwhile to even live, I'd say, if you weren't saved. Because when it ends, it's going to be all over as far as this world, but you'll be in hell everlasting. I hope nobody here tonight is in that condition. I hope we're dealing tonight with people that know Jesus Christ and know Him in the free pardon of sin. And if you do, there is a question much more important than the one that Hamlet had. The question you find really, if I may paraphrase Mr. Shakespeare, when he said, to be or not to be, chapter 18, verse 1 of Luke, talking of Jesus, he said, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to pray and not to faint. So here's the question, to pray or not to pray? You know, we've been coming here for a number of months, over a year now, on Wednesday nights, and most of the time we've had corporate prayer, which is a wonderful thing. God has done some mighty things. And if I were to ask you, should we pray or not pray? What would you say? I wonder, do we take prayer as seriously as we ought to? I know I'm paraphrasing the Bard, which they probably hang me for that in England. But to pray or not to pray got on my mind. And I thought, here's a question Shakespeare never asked. He said to be or not to be, but he didn't say to pray or not to pray. The resounding answer to this is yes. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. That is, we ought to always pray and not lose heart, in other words, not give up. I've seen some mighty prayers answered. As I think about it, even during this last year, I've seen God do some mighty things. And I'm sure you have too. So I don't want you to despair. Yes, we must pray. And we must persevere in prayer. We must keep on praying. The Bible tells us that to pray without ceasing. Over in, it was Paul that said it, and I can't even remember the exact quotation. I didn't write that down. Anyway, but we know he says, pray without ceasing. And our Lord tells us some other things about how important prayer is. He gave us a course, which I brought a message one time here, on the Lord's Prayer, where He taught us how to pray. And it's not so much of the how that we need now. We just need to do it. We need to pray. We need to seek God to understand that He hears our prayers. Now, in this particular place here where Jesus says men ought always to pray and not to faint, I don't want to leave you ladies out. A lot of times in the Bible, when it talks of men, it's talking of mankind. It's talking of men and women. That's what He's talking about. Men and women ought to pray and not to faint, not lose heart. Keep praying. Keep on praying. Keep looking to Him. And here He says in verse 2, saying, He gives us something called a parable here. Y'all know what a parable is. I mean, Brother Tommy's preached on parables before enough that we ought to know. But just in case you don't, the simplest way to say it, it's a story that is teaching a truth or illustration. Sometimes a story is not really something that happened as much as it is some things that to show us what we need to do. And I think in this case, because He says directly that it is a parable, He's not saying this actually happened as such. Maybe something similar did. But the Lord is teaching us through this parable. And He says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. He's talking about a city here. He just gives us the name that it's a city. He doesn't tell us which city that it is. It could have been New York or Atlanta or wherever, you know, in our modern day. But He's saying, in this city there's a judge. This judge is an interesting character. I've seen some like that in this generation that we live in. But this guy is very unusual. First of all, he says he doesn't fear God. He doesn't fear God. That's an awful thing. It makes you tremble. As a Christian now, I see how awful that is, not to fear God. Because if you don't fear God, you don't believe in God. I mean, God is in control. We must fear Him. Now, the fear that we have, of course, is an awe of Him. An understanding, a reverence, knowing that He is Almighty God. He's the same God that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He's the same God that gave the power that Jesus Christ came out of the grave. He's the same God that turned the water into wine. He's God. Well, this judge didn't fear Him. Not only that, this judge also didn't respect men. It says he didn't regard men at all. This judge was simply saying, I don't care. This judge was saying, I'm a God myself. I can do what I want to do. We've got them like that today in America. You can see a good law passed. You've seen it recently, I'm sure. A good law might be passed, something that's good, something that all righteous people would go for. They go up to the Supreme Court, and what happens? They overturn it. Men that sit up there just make these decisions. And they don't regard man, and they don't fear God. Now, Jesus says, there's this man. He's an evil man. He's an unjust judge. He's not really wanting to do justice. Let me say this in passing. If you're not saved and you want justice, don't ask God for justice. Because you know what? If you're not saved and you don't know Christ, justice will be when God places you in hell. That's justice. What you need is not justice, but mercy if you're not saved. You need that. And I hope everybody here is saved, like I said. I didn't come here tonight thinking everybody's lost. But I'm telling you that you don't need justice, you need mercy. But he says here, this man didn't fear God, and he didn't respect man, he didn't regard man. But there was somebody that came in his life that was going to make a change here. Look in verse 3. There was a widow in that city, same city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Here was this woman that came in this anonymous city, and she says, will you avenge me of my adversary? She's asking this unjust judge who doesn't regard men or women, he doesn't regard people at all, and he doesn't fear God. And she's saying, will you avenge me of my adversary? And it says, verse 4, he would not for a while. That tells you something right there. He would not for a while. For a while. That was telling me something. Something's going to happen here. He wouldn't do it for a while, but afterward he said within himself. And he said this, he remarkably admitted his depravity right here. He said, though I fear not God, nor regard man. He said it himself. He said he was a depraved man. Maybe he didn't say it out loud, but he said it. He agreed that he was a depraved man that didn't fear God and didn't regard man. And he says, though I don't fear God and I don't regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me. This little widow is troubling this unjust judge. This little widow is getting under his skin. She comes to him and said, avenge me of my adversary. We don't know what kind of adversarial situation it was. We don't know if it was a lawsuit. We don't know if it was a felony somewhere somebody committed. We don't know what was going on. We weren't told the whole thing. But she had an adversary. And she wanted to be avenged. She wanted fair treatment. She wanted justice from this unjust judge. And he says, I don't fear God, nor regard man. Yet because this widow troubleth me. He wanted to get her out from under his skin, you see. He wanted to get rid of her. I think sometimes, to tell you the honest truth, in many of the churches where they really have a lot of activity and they're going on and they're pushing for people to come forward and do something, my theory is a lot of times they'll do it because they want to get the minister off their back that's pressuring them. But it doesn't mean anything so many times. Sabbath. What we need is a genuine touch of the Holy Ghost to touch people's hearts and bring them to Jesus Christ. We can't fake that. God has to do it. Anyway, this lady was getting under his skin. She troubles me, he says. She's tearing me up. Now, he was a hanging judge, we might say. You know, I like old Western movies sometime, and you always got these guys in there that were hanging judge, like Judge Roy Bean or somebody. They were people who, when somebody came before them, hang them, you know. Hang them. That's what they do. This guy was sort of a hanging judge. He was unjust. He didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. So he considered himself to be a god. And in this situation, he got really turned off here. And he got really said, I just can't continue with this. She's bothering me. She's under my skin. I got to change things here. Well, here's what happens. Verse 6. The Lord tells us. We get the picture here, don't we? That he yielded to her. Because he says, first, he wouldn't hear her for a while. Then when she got under his skin, he says, I'm going to avenge her. So she got justice from a man that she wouldn't have thought she would get justice from. How did she get this justice? You know how she got it? She persisted. She persisted in prayer. If you'll turn over to Luke chapter 11 just for a moment, I'll show you another place where the Lord talked about this kind of thing happening. Luke chapter 11. Right after he gives the Luke version of the Lord's Prayer, there is a place where he talks about this happening again, and I'll just read it to you. You see, in verse 5 of chapter 11, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. He didn't want to be troubled either. He said, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are in the bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. The word importunity there means, it means a shameless persistence. It means this person didn't have shame about it. He needed this and he kept persisting. That's what we need to be with God. Shamelessly persistent. Knowing that God hears our prayers and knowing He cares about us. And we need to be persistent with Him. And He goes on to tell us this that we know so well. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. He has more to say there too, but I'm going back over to 18 for just a minute. The Lord winds up this parable by saying this. He says, verse 6, he says, hear what the unjust judge saith. In other words, here's the moral of the story, I guess we'd say. Here's what really hits home. Verse 7. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? In other words, though it seems like to them that he's just taking a lot of time. Sometimes it doesn't seem like God answers our prayers as fast as we might like for him to. But it says God will avenge his elect. The elect of God are the chosen of God, the saved people. God cares about them. He's going to avenge them. Because they have what? Importunity. Because they have shameless persistence. That's what we got to have too. When we come before the Lord, not just here in the church. Let me tell you, that's important. I realize in this last year how much more important than I thought it was at one time to pray corporately in the church. It's a wonderful thing. Maybe sometimes, though, we slide it off and don't take it as serious as we ought to. But if that's all the prayer we're doing, we're not going to get anywhere too much. You need to be also in private prayer. I told a guy that some years ago. need to pray more. He said, what do you want me to do, stay on my knees all the time? I said, would that help? Because we wouldn't do that. None of us would. But what the Lord is saying, He's not saying that we'll be heard for our much speaking. He's not saying that we have got to be on our knees all the time, as it were. But what we need to do is take time for Him every day and converse with Him, pray with Him until He tells you something. You know why we don't hear from God a lot of times? We don't stay before Him very much. And we need to pray more. Pray with your family. Sometimes we don't do that enough. But pray alone, too. Pray before God. I'm really trying to get closer to God and do that more often, because we need to realize the day we're living in is a terrible day. I think it was a bad day back in Germany when Hitler took over. Well, they hadn't got that bad yet. They're not wiping people out. But I don't see that too far away if we keep going like we're going. We need God. We need God very badly. And the Lord tells us here, see what the unjust judge says. He says, God is going to avenge His elect, though He bear along with them. He said, I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Sometimes it doesn't seem very speedy. Sometimes it seems like He's taking His time. But remember 2 Peter 3:8? You read that before, hadn't you? 2 Peter 3:8. Turn over with me for just a minute. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Tommy quoted part of this Sunday. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. God's time schedule doesn't work like us, like ours. Matter of fact, God doesn't operate on time at all. He operates in eternity. One day with the Lord is a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. He doesn't seem to answer fast because He's not on our schedule. We're on His schedule. We better understand that. His ways are not our ways. And He goes on to say here, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, that is, His sheep. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I like the next verse, so I'll throw that in. And the day of the Lord shall come as a thief at the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The word conversation means behavior here. Our behavior ought to be pleasing the Lord and everything. But Jesus said, learn from the unjust judge. Learn from what happened here. Be persistent in your prayers. Don't just get down and say, thank you, Lord, for our daily bread. By your hands, we are fed. That sort of thing. I'm not saying that's a bad prayer, but I'm just saying it isn't enough. It's too shallow. We need to spend time before God. We need to understand that God cares about us. He loves us. Jesus gave us many examples of prayer in Matthew and Luke. There's some other things even in this chapter that I won't try to go into now. But He did say this, the last thing here. He said, He's going to avenge them speedily. This makes me shudder to think of because of where we're going now. Do you realize there are people in churches today doing things that we would have never dreamed of 20 years ago? Now, I know there's some good churches too. We're not the only church that preaches the gospel. But there's some that they just don't care anymore what they allow to come in the church. We need to stand against that kind of sin and corruption. He tells us this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? I've kicked that one around for a long time, a number of years. I thought, well, yeah, I guess He will. Well, I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder, will He find faith on the earth? And my thinking is on this. He's not going to find very much faith the way it is right now. That's one reason I keep praying for revival. Brother Barry knows what I'm talking about. We're praying for revival. If God chooses not to send it, so be it. We bow before Him. But I pray that He will send revival. But He says here, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Did we learn something here? The unjust judge is an example. Not that God is unjust. God is just. That's one of His attributes. He's just. He's holy. He's righteous. He's good. He's everything that we're not by nature. God does right. This judge was doing wrong. And yet, because of this woman's persistence, because of the fact she kept on coming back, this judge changed his mind. We won't change God's mind because He's eternal. He knows what He's going to do all together. But we can get in on His action. We can seek Him and see what He wants to do. I hope we'll seek Him more and more. Tonight, we want to pray. We want to seek Him. We want to care what He does. You know, like I say, people sometimes get it all wrong. They think, well, you're advocating we just pray and pray and pray. I'm advocating that we at least pray. And after that, we'll see how God deals with us. We need to pray. We need to pray and seek Him. Men ought always to pray and faint not. Or as the modern way would say it, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart in your prayer. We've done that before, haven't we? I've lost heart praying for certain things. And yet all of a sudden you see God open a door you didn't expect. I praise Him for that. He's a good God. I'm going to stop now and before I get too carried away. And ask if anybody has any prayer requests that we want to take before the Lord tonight. I hope it'll give us a different perspective on prayer. To pray, seeking Him. Pray importunately. Pray, in other words, believing that He's going to give an answer. The Bible even tells in the book of James that we're to pray believing God. Believing that He's going to answer our prayers. Anybody have a special prayer request tonight?